is it with the numbers?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's the Morning Open, a look at the economy as stock trading gets underway this morning. We're about 20 minutes in. Microsoft looking up, or is it? The Fed chief speaks, and where's the stimulus money going? All that coming up. But first, another question. Where's Wall Street? The S&P pretty much flat right now. The NASDAQ up about 0.8%. The Dow down about 0.1%, 6 points at 10,074. Markets are up in Europe, even despite a surprising British GDP report showing the economy there shrinking in the third quarter. Asian shares were mostly higher today as well. Jim Dunnigan is Chief Investment Officer over at PNC Wealth Management. He's with us this morning live from Philadelphia. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Steve.
So we got these Microsoft earnings beating market expectations, right? I was in Philly this week attending a conference of a bunch of business journalists, and one of the things we were talking about is this multitude of ways that companies can report their numbers. I mean, what do we make of these numbers when they're saying profits were down, what was it, 18%, but it was because of so-called deferred revenue?
There is a lot of noise in these numbers, and I think in the Microsoft numbers you see the same theme that we've seen. Not much on the top end on revenue, but more on controlling cost, and a lot of that is some of the noise in the numbers with tax deductions and things like that. So it's difficult to get to the real business momentum that you see in a particular company.
I mean, this is obviously a way for Microsoft to say, well, you know, they're okay right now, but things are going to get much better next quarter, right?
Exactly. But I think what we have to start, you see a lot of companies beating estimates, but we're not seeing, so they're managing the bottom line, but we're not necessarily seeing that top line growth, you know, new markets, new revenue that we can build on something for the future.
Let's talk about this move by the Pazar and the Obama administration to limit executive compensation at bailed out companies. Do you think it sets a dangerous precedent quickly?
Well, I think it's in some interesting territory, certainly an emotional issue. I think a lot of what you see, though, is the headlines get into sort of what they get paid, but I think the second page will get to and how they get paid, and I think you'll start to see more restricted stock and the like, which just ties them into the long-term performance of the company.
Jim Dunnigan in Philly. Jim, thanks.
You bet.
All right. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke just wrapped up a speech on Cape Cod. He was addressing a conference on financial regulation. His speech could be characterized as a call to action. We're going to check in with Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson. He's been watching the speech this morning, and he's with us live at our bureau in New York. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Steve.
So what did the chairman have to say?
Well, he was speaking in beautiful Chatham, Massachusetts, but his words were really directed at Congress. He said, "We're starting to come out of this crisis, and legislators really need to take advantage of our collective memory and enact reforms now while we still care."
With the financial turmoil abating, now is the time for policymakers to take action to reduce the probability and severity of any future crises.
Specifically, Steve, he said there should be stronger capital requirements for banks. He reiterated his support for a better focus on consumers. And he said Congress needs to create an orderly way to wind down an institution when it's in trouble.
Now, Jeremy, every time the Fed chairman speaks, people wonder whether he's going to give any indication of interest rates. Did he do any of that?
He did not mention interest rates, which, as you know, are near zero now to try to juice lending in the economy. He was asked about bank stress tests, which the government conducted earlier this year to make banks had enough capital. He was asked, are they going to do this again? He said, no, that was a one-time thing.
All right. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson from our Marketplace Bureau in New York. Jeremy, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. $25 trillion of investment assets are accounted for with software from SunGard Financial Systems. More information at sunguard.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
President Obama kicked off the first stimulus-funded road project back in March, a repaving job in suburban Washington, D.C. It's been almost 8 months, and the project is almost done. The Marketplace has been keeping tabs. Reporter Elizabeth Threlkeld this morning says while this project is wrapping up, many others are not.
New Hampshire Avenue is getting a paint job. Workers are laying down three-foot-long strips of white paint at a crosswalk. It's the last step in the repaving project.
Sections, basically, they just put it down, and then with a propane torch, They melt all the edges together and it forms just one uniform bar all the way across.
That's project manager Scott Dauphiné. He says he's relieved the job is wrapping up.
I mean, there was a lot of eyes on us since this was the first job in the country for the stimulus plan.
This is one of only a few stimulus transportation projects that's actually finished. Most are just getting started.
It takes a while to spend $1 trillion.
Eric Gillespie is chief information officer for Onvia, a research firm that tracks stimulus spending at recovery.org. He says a lot of stimulus money has been committed to states, but not all the funds have made their way to actual projects yet.
I think the timeline was aggressive from the beginning, and the view was pretty optimistic. The projects today that are underway, I would say, are fewer than anyone expected.
The federal government has promised to fund over $35 billion in stimulus road projects. Gillespie says they've only cut checks to contractors for close to $14 billion so far. Another reason for the slow start is logistics. Victor Mendez is head of the Federal Highway Administration.
We're kind of venturing now into the next phase of the more complex, larger projects that have taken a little bit longer to get them ready actually to contract out.
Once more stimulus money starts flowing, planners are hoping all the projects end up like that first one in Maryland, on time and under budget. In Washington, I'm Elizabeth Threlkeld for Marketplace.
And finally, I thought I would never, ever utter the words balloon boy on this broadcast, but apparently it is all the rage this Halloween. Since the Colorado incident that authorities continue to investigate, several costume kits have popped up online. The creators of one of them, Plantraco Microflight, says they're selling them by the thousands, partly because of a mock video on YouTube showcasing the product.
Are you on board there? Falcon, come back, Falcon.
The National Guard is coming.
Quick, someone call Wolf Blitzer at CNN.
The kit includes shiny UFO-like balloon, string, and box in case you need to hide in the attic. From Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.